Go ahead, Ed. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you all for giving us a chance to talk a little bit about our budget. I think this will be relatively straightforward, but once I've said that, I know it's not going to be the case. So if we go to the first slide, this is what you've seen with all the departments. Because of a couple of factors, grant funds and use of rollover, these numbers don't really explain very much. The change of minus 25,000 is not really reflective of what our budget's about this year, so I'm going to go right past that one and explain a couple of things. First of all, in this year, we have a couple of major grants. We have some other ones as well, but these are two major grants that will not be at that level in 2013. So there's over almost $1.5 million in the 2012 budget that's not reflected in the 2013 budget. That's grant funds that we receive and expend. So that's one factor to take into account. If we go on to the next slide, this is really the only significant thing in the budget. If you look at the change of 0.6, that's one of our over targets, which I'll explain when we get to that. But other than that, this budget represents pretty much a status quo budget. We have had the up and down in our staffing basically reflects organizational changes in the county. In 2011, the change happened with me coming back full-time to planning from public works and us getting on tourism into the planning department. So that changed the FTE levels. Then in 2012, we've had to make some reductions because of budgetary issues in the county. So we're really kind of at status quo, except for this one OTR in terms of staffing. So these are our OTRs. Our first priority is the Intermunicipal Sustainability Planner position, which is the net 0.6 staff. And this is the net local cost. And the reason the cost is less than you expect for 0.6 staff is this position would be shared with the City of Ithaca in 2013. This was really an initiative of the City of Ithaca approaching the county, the mayor, actually, and saying they had had a temporary sustainability person on staff. The funding ran out, and now they have no one, and he's really concerned that they're going to fall backwards in terms of meeting their goals. At the same time, we've had a number of things we've been wanting to pursue that haven't gotten as far as we'd like, and I'll talk about more about those in a minute. So this offers an opportunity for the city and the county to collaborate on a position. They would pay half of the cost. We would pay half of the cost. The person would work on both city and county sustainability issues, particularly in focused on county and city government sustainability. So our buildings, our fleets, those kinds of things. With the possibility that in future years there may be one or more other municipalities interested in this. I've had a conversation with Herb Engman, who said in future years they may be up against the same thing the city was up against in terms of funding for this and may want to cooperate as well. So this would be a start, and we all talk about intermunicipal cooperation. This is a chance to do something very, very tangible in that regard. The other OTRs are all using rollover. And they actually reflect continuations of things that are in the current budget. Matching funds for the development focus area implementation. This is funding that we would make available to work with municipalities that want to undertake planning efforts to implement the focus area in their community, do things in terms of maybe zoning changes, market studies, design studies that might be necessary for them to realize the potential there. The Energy Program Matching Fund is intended to be matching funds for grants, for use in collaboration with others on projects, and that's the way it's been used to date. So that program would be continued, again, using rollover, not any general fund funds from that. And then finally, our Smart Office Initiative, and all these are explained in the budget pages. We underwent a Smart Office project earlier this year. We've done a few things this year. We've identified some equipment needs to fully realize what we think is the potential of that, and those are reflected there with rollover. So if we're going to go to the next one. So the big change, again, is this Intermunicipal Sustainability planner. It's viewed as a full-time position, but in 2013 we're only showing it as 0.6, essentially, which means we would not fill it until sometime around May 1st thereabouts, and that would be sufficient to, the funds we have then would carry that position through the end of the year with the city and county funds at a full-time level. And part of the reason for looking at it this way is, like I said, I think that in 2014 there's a strong potential that we would have another partner and that that would allow us to fully fund it for the full year in 2014 and beyond if this was approved. What would this position do? Again, sustainability efforts within county government and things that we haven't made the progress on we would like, green fleet policy implementation, employee engagement and participation. Our sustainability efforts called for a major outreach to employees throughout county government that really hasn't been able to happen with just kind of staff from different departments trying to do this on their time. Our greenhouse gas emissions inventory and monitoring, particularly the monitoring, are we making progress toward the goals that we've established? This position would help us keep track of that better and more up-to-date on a more annual basis. And then, of course, by virtue of a shared position with the city, we would expect to identify opportunities immediately with the city for collaboration on sustainability efforts within government, but also with other municipalities and others in the community potentially. And then, of course, the position would help with implementation of identified opportunities for sustainability within county and city government. And it's envisioned as a position that would be, again, in 2013, half of the time the position would be working for the city and half for the county. It would be in the county planning department, but would spend time over at City Hall on a regular basis reflecting that efforts and funding from the city. So that's the major change that's being proposed in the budget. We definitely thought it was something that the legislature obviously has to decide on, but we think it's a great opportunity, and my understanding is the mayor has it in his budget that he's proposed.
I'm going to ask the first question, then have Pam and Pat. Ed, is the new planner on our payroll, and we're essentially, they're writing us a check for half of it?
Yeah, we have an agreement, intermunicipal agreement with them, and they would pay half of the salary, half of the fringes across the board.
Thank you. Pam?
I was just curious to why it's an increase then in a point six.
Well, we have to show the position at fully in our roster, even if we're getting revenue to support it. So it shows it, but the revenue, the cost of the county is half of what that 0.6 would be in 2013. And if it went forward in 2014, we would expect we'd be making the same contribution, but it might be end up being a third of the total cost with other entities perhaps participating.
So is this a part-time job then?
No, it would be full-time starting in May, but right. It wouldn't start until May.
You so mean that's for the county, it would start in May, and for the city, it would start in January.
No, it'd start in May for both.
Oh, for both.
Yes.
Okay.
So we would, if we got approved for this, we'd go out, recruit, do some hiring, and okay. We would just have a position scheduled to go on starting in May.
Okay, so we're just looking at it as it's our position, but we're getting some reimbursement from the
right.
City.
Right, and it would only continue if the city continued to fund that position.
I have Pat and Brian and Carol and Martha.
So I'm assuming that this position would be subject then to the city budget process as well as our process. So what would happen if, for instance, I mean, we read in the paper about the cuts and so on that the city is making. What would happen if we pass this in our budget, but they don't pass it in theirs?
Then we would not fill a position.
Okay. Brian?
Actually, can you go back to the four? Okay, never mind. I'm good.
That's a good question. Carol.
No. I have two questions.
Well, actually, let me go ahead and ask.
Okay.
Although it's answered on that, my question was going to be, it almost seems to me like some of your other OTRs are personnel
No, they generally wouldn't. The other ones, 2 through 4, really don't involve county personnel. They're usually, the funding would be likely used to hire specialists or outside consultants that can do certain types of analysis that we don't do on staff. It might be coupled with some staff work, but those funds would be to hire somebody else to do something. Yeah, we wouldn't be using. They wouldn't be staff.
Interns, consultants.
Okay. Could, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I have Carol.
2 questions. One, a few years ago, all of you voluntarily reduced your percentage of time mm-hmm. in order to meet the miserable budget constraints that we had. Is it time to increase people? Do you all want to continue to stay reduced?
Well, we are all reduced still and expect to be in 2013 as well. Maybe not everybody to the same extent. We've tried to juggle things around where we can. And some of it's voluntary and some of it isn't. I would say probably there are staff who would prefer to work more hours than they're working now if they could, but to meet our target, we couldn't do that.
Right. So how much would you have to put in an over-target request, or would we have to a lot to
that's a great
get you
question. Back on the
same line while you answer other
yeah,
questions and give you a ballpark.
Give you a ballpark
okay.
in a few
and
minutes.
And then my other question has to do with you on the not on the sustainability planner list of tasks is anything related to green building policy. And we have started to talk about and keep putting off the discussion about how to implement our green building policy.
Yeah.
It had occurred to me that that would call for us to spend about $75,000 per building project more in order to ensure that we meet green building standards, rather than spend $75,000, and that's to basically you contract through the Green Building Council with their approved architects to oversee our building projects. Rather than do that at $75,000 per project separately, we could hire somebody on staff who, with the skills to do that, and that would be their job, and when they weren't having to do that, they could do other sustainability things, is my thought.
Well,
would that be a planner? Would that be somebody in facilities?
Well,
and
do you think
that would work?
I would have to think about what the real job description would be for that, what you've described. But this does imply, or at least I expect that this position would do some of what you've described, which is mainly looking at building performance. And we have data on our buildings, that ORL collects and reports on an annual basis in terms of energy usage and everything else. But in order to really understand it, you have to do some adjustments to weather and climate during that year and other things that we don't really do very much of. This position could do more with the data we have to let us know how our buildings are performing. Are they performing as we expected they would with the improvements we've made? Are there things we should be looking at? Also, when I talked about employee engagement and participation, a fair amount of what you gain in a building is influenced by the behavior of the people in the building. And that's one of the things we wanted to do is more training so people were aware of what it means when you leave the window open, for 2 hours, and what it means when you leave the lights or the computers on all night long. These are the kinds of things that can make an actual significant difference if everybody's aware and thinking about it all the time. That's one of the things this position would, I think, do is help to organize and conduct some of that outreach among staff, train people in buildings to train their coworkers in the buildings and kind of get a team effort going on about how do we become more conserving in terms of energy in our building without affecting operations. So that would definitely be a part of this. In terms of the LEED thing, the thing about that is we don't, although it seems like we're doing more than we expect, but we don't do that many big construction projects generally in county government, so it's not something that's easy to have a person on staff just to do that. But the things I'm talking about, they certainly could also contribute to when you're doing a new building design, some of the things we might want to be thinking about.
Martha?
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Ed, I'm looking at page 300 where you've got your FTE list. And the senior planner, the OTR that's requested is 0.88.
Okay, that's, again, every way you do, everything you do in the budget is a little bit different depending on what page it's on. But this reflects the level of position. So that 0.88 means a 35-hour position.
Okay. All right. And that's what Carol's talking about, the time, the fact that you've reduced your time. That's why you've got all these funny percentages.
Right. The 0.94s are 37.5. 0.88 is 35. That's what those things represent.
So that's a 35-hour position. can I ask about support for advisory boards? That's been an issue in a number of years, in the last couple of years. Where does that stand in this? I guess I'm hearing the status quo.
It's maintained at the current levels. We've had discussion with all the advisory boards about things that we can do to become a little more efficient, and I think everybody's done a little bit to help with that. But I think we also are delivering to the advisory boards the support that they most value, and we've been able to continue to do that. And I think, in fact, the legislature put money back in at one point a couple of years ago to do that. And once you did that, we haven't proposed taking it out again.
Okay. Thank you.
I have Peter, Mike, and Frank. Go ahead, Peter.
I have a couple of questions about this notion of sharing a person with the county and the city. And I have a couple of questions about that and how it works. I've thought about this in other contexts. So does this person keep a time card that says that he 20 hours a week he or she works on city problems and 20 hours a week he works on county problems? And does the question come up of, well, actually, the city is a third of the county, so if it's shared half and half, maybe he ought to be working two-thirds of the time on the city projects because the city is a third of the county. And to whom does this person answer? Does he answer half the time to one side and half the time to the other? Are there any problems in working something like that out?
No major problems. I mean, we have staff accounting for time to projects and things all the time, and it would be expected that it would be divided evenly between the city and the county. We expect the person would be in City Hall a couple days a week, probably working with city staff about issues that the city has. Now, the other side of that, however, is that we find that we are many times doing the same things in parallel, the city and the county and sometimes other municipalities, and only occasionally, like recently with the fleet discussion that's going on right now, we start talking to each other and realize, oh, you got some good ideas, and vice versa. This collaboration would hopefully help those things surface more. And there are actually opportunities out there to do things actually together in some cases. And because of proximity, it's possible for the city and the county to think about that. Maybe the town of Ithaca as well at some point. Because of the proximity of our facilities, we may actually be able to do things actually together in some cases. So this kind of a position would facilitate that kind of thinking, certainly.
Mike.
I guess thinking about this position as over target, the question that comes to my mind, is this the most important thing that we need to focus on at the planning department level? There was a time when the planning department spent a lot of time on economic development activities. I don't think it does that as much as it used to do. I think of things that probably need looking at, from trails to the loss of a boatyard to where, you know, parks and other things here. I just wonder, is this where we ought to be spending our money and where we ought to be focused in the next year or two?
I think it is for two reasons that it makes sense. One is that the county government has established goals, and I don't believe we're meeting them. So this position would be critical, just as in the city, that the mayor was concerned, in trying to meet a goal that we've actually said into the community we're going to meet. Secondly, we do have staff doing some of this work now. So having this position would allow a little bit of staff time to be freed up to do some of the other things you're talking about. One area where we've been kind of falling behind in my mind a little bit is, for example, housing, where we'd like to get some more analysis, some more information out in the community. This might allow the staff person that's doing some of this work now to refocus more of that time on some of those types of things. In the future, it could be something else, because every year our work program changes and the priorities change. But this is important, and a half a time, it's really a third that we're talking about, a third of a position to do, to help county government do what it said it was going to do, I think is a good investment of that time.
Frank, Carol, Martha, you have your hand up again.
Thanks, Jim. Ed, as long as we're talking about the sustainability person, in the write-up on page 305, yes, it indicates that the county would hire the planner, and that it implies that the work of this person on county time would be city work, and that in 2014, as any other municipality wants to participate financially, time could be freed up for the person to, on the county's piece, to spend some time in whatever municipality, the town of Ithaca and the town of Dryden, are mentioned. Am I reading this right? Will any of the time that's apportioned to the county, I mean, would this person be available in Danby and Caroline and in Lansing or wherever?
Well, at this point, no. The way it's envisioned is the person spending that, basically a third of a staff person spending time working on county government, meeting county government's goals. And then the other part of their time would be working with city government to meet the city government's goals. Now, like I said, there may be some cases where they can do, you know, help both by doing something. But at this point, the idea is this time would be split 50-50 between working with city government and county government. If other municipalities came out in the future, then they, you know, whatever portion of time they contributed might be apportioned to working with them. Or we may end up doing more collaborative work in the future. I don't know. It's hard to envision that
well,
this time.
Just one quick follow-up, Jim. If a county's goal existed in the town of Enfield, would the time, whatever that may be, would the county's time then for this person be devoted to Enfield?
No, what the goals we're talking about are not ones that affect other municipal governments. It's only, we're talking about county government buildings, county government operations, and county government vehicles. Those are the types of things where we set goals to reduce our emissions from those sources. And this position would be to look into how do we achieve those goals, and are we making the progress we need to make, and if not, what do we need to do next to meet it. So it's really the county government, not the community goal, but the county government goal at this point in time. That's the way it's envisioned. Now, that's not to say the position might not evolve and do other things, but that's what the city's looking for. That's what we, I think, also need, at least for the near term, and then, you know, over time, it might become something more than that, but that's really what it's designed to do.
To go back to Mike Lane's question, is there any place, I was just quickly scanning, is there any place besides the focus areas which imply some work in economic development, is there any other place where there's some economic development focus?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, first of all, I do participate in a lot of economic development organizations and things in the community. And staff supports that. Our Cleaner, Greener Southern Tier plan that we're working on right now with 8 counties has an economic development component. We have been involved in the Regional Economic Development Council in helping people locally develop projects that went through there, some of them successfully. We're involved with the Appalachian Regional Commission process of reviewing projects, that some of which are economic development. So we do have relationships with respect to economic development. The thing we did do a few years ago, though, especially when resources were being constrained, is said, okay, who can best do certain functions? And we wanted, it's in many ways it serves the community best when you have like a one-stop shop for economic development, which in our community for the county is TCAD. So we shifted a couple of things to them when we started losing staff. And so that, with the idea that if people can only go, have to only go there to get those things, it's better for someone in the community, a business person or anyone else, than to have to go there and then come over to our department to get the other piece of it. So that was a conscious decision we made, and we shifted one of the loan funds in particular, as you remember, because you were on the committee for that. But we still have a lot of engagement with TCAD, with others in the community about things that affect economic development.
Thanks. Carol.
Yeah, the planning department came up with an incredibly comprehensive list of all of the land use tools and ordinances that our municipalities, towns, city, whoever would need to put into place, would ideally have in place to deal with impending gas drilling. Is that, where does that stand, and is there anything, if there were towns that wanted to follow up on that, would you be able to accommodate their needs within this budget?
Well, probably not in terms of accommodating their needs. We certainly can follow up. I mean, on anything that's on that list, we can provide some guidance. We couldn't implement it. We couldn't complete the project to develop the law or whatever. Many communities would rely on their town attorneys for that anyway. And there are other people out there providing models all the time. So we haven't had, thus far, people coming to us and us not being able to help them with what they've asked for. That doesn't mean that they won't if something actually starts to happen and start really getting anxious and have more needs. But right now, we haven't had that problem.
This is not like a circuit rider position. Like, Frank, you asked about helping Danby or other towns. This is not that.
No.
Okay. What about the Cleaner, Greener, Southern Tier initiative? Is this going to stay with Katie? Will that stay with Katie and Leslie, or will this person work on that some?
That project will be complete this year, and then there'll be another funding opportunity next year to apply for implementation funds. We don't know, depending on what the program criteria are, whether the county will be an applicant for anything or whether there'll be others in the community or others in the region that become applicants. So it's hard to predict where we will go with that in the future. Certainly, you know, Katie and Leslie and Joan and I are all involved in that Southern Tier planning effort right now, and we will continue to be involved in its implementation in some way. And who on staff does what is not known at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Ed. Thank you, John.
The answer to the question. Somewhere in the ballpark of $40,000. That includes salary and fringe.
To
get everybody up to 40 who would want to go to 40. That very back of the envelope.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
County Office of the Agent.
Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
So I guess I'll just jump right into it. You see in front of you on the first slide the Office for Aging's recommended budget for 2013. We're seeing a little over $200,000 change from 2012, net local decrease of about $3,300. The next slide I'll explain some of what comprises that $200,000 change. In 2013, we're seeing the end of a number of federal and state grants and revenue streams. The first, an ongoing revenue stream, the WRAP program, Weatherization Referral and Assistance Program. It's approximately $31,000 to fund weatherization-related home repairs to low-income seniors. I'll be talking a lot more about this later because it shows up as one of my over-target requests. But the program has been in existence. The funding for this program has been in existence since 1990. And last year, around this time, we were given word of this potential cut, which took place. The funding was officially eliminated in March of 2012. And this legislature granted us one-time funds to see us through, this program and other programs that we're funding under it through to the end of 2012. And then the second bullet here is the RESTORE program. That's a competitive grant that we received, and that's to fund emergency health and safety related home repairs, which we applied for back in 2011 and received for 2012. And we did not apply for those funds again for 2013 because we didn't think we would have a RAP program. So, ADRC stands for Aging and Disability Resource Center. That was a three-year grant that Tompkins was one of two counties to receive, and that grant is coming to an end here in 2012. MIPA is the Medicare Improvements for Patients and Providers Act. That's been multi-year grant funding, supplemental funding for Medicare counseling, which we've provided in conjunction with Lifelong. And then we had a grant through the Office for Persons with Developmental Disabilities. This was another ongoing funding stream that funded the College for Lifelong Learning, which was continuing educational programs for adults with developmental disabilities. And we discontinued that earlier in 2012 due to a complete change in the program requirements, which we could no longer fulfill. So those are the kind of the negative influences, the cuts in federal and state funding, which are affecting our programs for 2013. And on the next slide, we did see some positive influences for our 2013 budget, the first of which is Tompkins County's growth in the older adult population outpaced the rest of New York State's growth in the 2010 census. Almost every county grew in the number of 60-plus. We just grew at a faster rate, higher rate, and that resulted in a changing the funding formulas for two of our state programs, Community Services for the Elderly, CSE. We're seeing an increase of $12,000 in ongoing funding. And Expanded In-Home Services for the Elderly Program, or ICEP, we're seeing an ongoing increase of $22,000 there. So it's not all bad news. And also, just as we were putting the finishing touches on our budget for 2013 in July, we learned that we would be, along with many other counties, receiving a 30-month New York State Systems Integration Grant of $36,000. 800. So that applies to this year all the way through September 30th of 2014. So we will be applying some of those funds in our 2013 budget and the remainder in 2014. Here are the Office for the Aging's full-time equivalents, and with the recommended 2013 budget, we would be cutting about a 0.43 FTE in the RAP program and restructuring our outreach staff. On the next slide. Here are over-target requests supported in our tentative budget. The first is $21,000 in target funds to help sustain the FoodNet nutrition program. And as I believe you know, FoodNet has identified a pretty serious structural deficit of over $100,000. And their executive director and their board have been very proactive, and they've taken multiple steps to address this deficit, including a number of revenue-raising and cost-containing measures. And this OTR of $21,000 is one component of an overall strategy to sustain FoodNet and the services that they provide to the seniors of Tompkins County for nutrition services. The second OTR was to fund a part-time outreach worker for HEAP using rollover funds, and I believe we pulled this Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, it was for using departmental rollover to fund this. Between the time that I submitted the budget and the time that and now we've received word that we've gotten early outreach funds to fund this, so we don't actually have to ask for this. Just wanted to bring that up. It was going to have no impact on the net local share anyway because it was through departmental rollover. And then the other priority number four was new phone charges for copper lines at the Human Service Annex building, amounting to $1,680. So the one over-target request that was not supported in the tentative budget was the $30,781 to maintain the WRAP program. And I'll just spend the remainder of my remarks talking about this OTR. And I'll just preface by saying that and emphasizing that the reason I'm here talking about this is that New York State, OTDA, made the decision to cut this program that it had been funding since 1990 out of federal HEAP funds. So this is a state-level decision, which has put us in this predicament. And I've been advocating in multiple ways on the state level to try to restore this funding. For 2 years, I've submitted comments to OTDA's HEAP plan for the state. I've been working with my state association to restore this funding, and our state legislators are aware of what this funding provides in Tompkins County. So I realize that we're hard-pressed to continue covering cuts imposed at a state or federal level, but at the same time, I consider this a very important program of the Office for the Aging, and I just wanted people to understand the impact of this cut. So the next slide. We've used this funding to cover almost a half of an outreach worker's time. The goal of the program is to assist low-income senior homeowners to make weatherization, health, and safety-related repairs to their homes. The outreach worker spends a lot of time on the phone responding to inquiries by seniors, conducting home visits, providing application assistance, helping to facilitate and coordinate home repairs with local agencies, contractors, and volunteers to get the work done, and also making referrals for other supportive services as necessary. So our office doesn't provide the hammer and nails home repair services like some of the other agencies in town, Better Housing, INHS, TCA, but we work with all of those agencies and other funding providers or funding sources to meet the needs of clients and get the repairs funded. And again, it's for individuals of low income. The income eligibility was equivalent to the income eligibility for the Home Energy Assistance Program. Many of the referrals that we receive come from the home repair agencies who encounter senior clients with complex issues, or they fall into gray areas that they can't help with and don't know where else to send them. And it seems like almost every home repair situation can fall into a gray area. Because providers are bound by funding streams and program eligibility requirements, and those that don't fit are often sent to us. For instance, mobile home repairs. Hardly any agencies will provide services for or repairs to mobile homes, weatherization services. Some only provide weatherization services. Some don't do large repairs like roofs or septics. So we're often the agencies that get these referrals conduct a home visit with the client to determine the extent of the need and try to piece together through often multiple funding sources ways to get the repair funded. The next slide. I look back over the last 6 years of the program and our wrap program has leveraged an average of $215,000 in state and federal and private funding each year. And as I said, our wrap coordinator works with several different service providers simultaneously to fund the repairs, and it's very typical to get a major repair funded through multiple funding streams using, you know, Sheen Housing, Restore Grant, working with Better Housing, sometimes USDA Rural Development, going to Lowe's or Home Depot and getting donations of materials and contributions from the clients in some cases. And we serve an average of about 125 low-income seniors each year with this program. And then the last slide, our preliminary data from the countywide senior needs assessment, which we just completed, a third of seniors indicate that their home needs one or more major repairs, and 38% haven't completed the repair due to the cost. And this jives with the results of our needs assessment, which we conducted in 2004. The figure was about 31%, indicating a need for major home repair. So this need persists for this type of service. And again, the program serves a vulnerable population. All are low income, nearly 40% are frail or have a disability, 42% live alone. So so it's certainly consistent with our mission, and it also works to maintain the housing stock in the county. So I think that's my last slide. And
I have Frank, I have Pam, Pat, Peter, and me.
Thanks, Jim. Lisa, can you critique my chronology and just tell me if this is right or wrong in the guise of a question? The reason that the RAP program got knocked, the state was contributing but was pulling the money out of the federal HEAP reimbursement.
Yes.
When the feds said that the HEAP reimbursement was going to be cut at the beginning of the year, that's when the feds said no more RAP money.
That's when the state
said. State said no more RAP money. The feds restored the HEAP money 100%, but the state said we're not going to make the contribution that we have in the past, and that's why we have the $30,000 shortfall. Is that about right?
Yes, that's my understanding. As far as I understand, that is accurate. Yes.
Where else will the 125 individuals that need the repairs be able to go to get the repairs that they need?
Well, we will continue to refer people to the existing services and the agencies that we have in town or regionally. What we won't be able to do is the extent of, you know, going to a home visit, working with them to complete multiple, often lengthy applications to get the home repairs completed. You know, going personally to Lowe's and Home Depot and asking for contributions for materials, that sort of thing. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I have Pam and Pat, Peter and me.
Well, I have to say, I just find this outrageous. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, this is our safety net, and this is what's happening to it, and it's just shameful. I guess you said that the people who come to you we help under this program, under the RAP program, are people who don't generally qualify for example, for the HEAP program,
the income eligibility criteria.
Well, I meant in terms of income, but you were talking about sort of these gray areas that made them not able to help them, that's why they get referred to you? Is that how that works? Or?
Well, many of the agencies who provide home repairs do do so under certain grants.
Right.
So some home repairs are only for assistance with accessibility, like wheelchair ramps or grab bars. Some are only in certain areas. Some won't work on mobile home. Most won't do repairs on mobile homes. So we get a lot of those, or some wouldn't be able to fund an entire roof. So we get all of those referrals. We get a lot of those referrals from agencies working with clients that say, well, you know, we can't work on a mobile home. Why don't you try the Office for the Aging or something
okay,
like
so,
that.
I mean, I was just trying to think that if there was a way that we could partially fund this and partner with some of these organizations that, you know, that we would be able to at least help to some degree. I mean, I'm assuming this person, is this a part-time person or is this a full-time person who does this as part of their job?
Full-time person who does okay. this as part of their job.
And will that person get laid off if this is not funded?
No, I would keep that full-time position. We have another part-time position that I would eliminate, and then the duties would be absorbed by this individual.
Okay, thank you. Pat.
Lisa, could you, excuse me, could you please speak to the impact that this might have on the ability of some of these 125 seniors to remain in their homes if this these repairs cannot be completed, and further beyond that, then what the possible impact could be to the community financially by the fact that it's usually more expensive, I believe, for people to be in some kind of assisted living or whatever if they can't remain in their own home. Isn't this a more moderate way, a more cost-effective way of having seniors be able to stay in their own home instead of being institutionalized?
Yeah, I do believe that it is. And, you know, it's all, and I do believe that it does go a long way in helping people maintain their home and maintain their independence in their home. You know, it's hard to say hard and fast numbers, but I know, for instance, of a case a couple of weeks ago where someone who was in a nursing facility and had been there for some time was able to return home because of the work that we were able to have done to her home. In conjunction with volunteer group, actually a group of volunteers from Cornell University, one of their sports teams helped to get a lot of work done, and then another agency built a ramp which enabled someone to leave the nursing home and come home, and it wouldn't have been able to happen. You know, all of these jobs. You know, we look for the funding and the labor and the materials from here and there, and it really, we get a lot done on a shoestring, so.
Can I ask a follow-up, Chip? In your contacts with people from your association at the state or the federal level, does it seem like there's any indication at all that in another year, perhaps, or at some point, this program might be brought back? Is there any talk of that?
There is talk. Like I said, I submitted my comments to the 2013 HEAT plan of OTADA. There was no plan for restoration, there was no plan for restoration of RAP in 2013. But you know, I keep hearing from my contacts at the state to keep advocating, you know, that they want to keep it alive because, you know, it's. It's had a big impact,
yep.
And we've had a fairly robust program here in Tompkins County. We've helped a whole lot of people again on a shoestring.
Thank you,
Peter Stein.
I'm in that age bracket, and I've been sitting here just thinking about what it would be like to be in bed and couldn't get out of bed because it was too damn cold in the room. Be pretty miserable and not knowing exactly where to go. I'm glad I'm not in the 47%, but there are people who are. But what I'm wondering about is, this to me sounds so important, I just don't feel I could dismiss it. I can relate too closely to the clients that you're talking about in my head. But what I was sitting and wondering about is, how was the contact made between me shivering in my bed and you, who knows what to do about it?
Yeah, that can happen in various ways. So depending upon whether you're linked in with other services, for instance, FoodNet, Meals on Wheels, or if you already have a personal emergency response system, you may already be familiar with the office and our services, and you may make the call, or, you know, the delivery driver at FoodNet may notice that, you know, a week or two's gone by and this person hasn't gotten out of bed. They may make the call. If the HEAP and WRAP program were very much connected, in that people who qualified for HEAP were automatically eligible for WRAP, and those individuals would automatically, a referral would be made, and we still administer the home energy assistance program through our office, so that's a great way for referral. And then, like I said, through our other service providers, home repair providers, if they've reached out to them and they can't help them, we often get the referral.
Thank you. Lisa, you mentioned other agencies in the community who do this. Did I hear you say this person is really not a hammer and nail person? They're a facilitator.
That's correct.
They're hooking people up with the service. Who else in the community does this kind of thing? TC Action?
Tompkins Community Action provides weatherization services, weatherization assistance program. Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services and Better Housing are hammer and nails home repair services and work with clients of limited incomes. Finger Lakes Independence Center offers some ramps, modular ramps for individuals. Bishop Sheen Ecumenical Housing also has some grants that they're a regional provider, but they have some grants where they serve clients in Tompkins County. But they often rely on people, you know, boots on the ground here in Tompkins County to help them identify clients and fill out a pretty onerous application for their services.
Thank you. Brian and then Dooley.
So in essence, our Office for the Aging is a conduit between them and, okay. My question has to do with funding. You said the feds restored HEAP funding to the state, who then... So would it be accurate to say that the HEAP funding would be $30,000 more than it was last year? They're just calling it a different name?
Well, I'm not really sure on that. That seems like it would make sense. It was my understanding that on the state level, the amount of HEAP funds that the state pulls down from the feds, 3% of that went to administer the WRAP program statewide. So,
okay. But they've canceled that. So unless they're holding back that 3%, which is not out of the realm of possibility, I guess, we should actually be getting, if everything stays the same, more in HEAP, $30,000 more, which represents the cut from WRAP. Is that?
Yeah, that logic may apply. I'm not sure.
I know we're talking about the state.
Yeah, we're talking about the state and we're talking about logic. I'm not sure how that would be realized in terms of, I don't believe it's been realized in terms of an increased HEAP benefit for individuals. I couldn't really answer that.
No, I'm talking about the overall funding.
Yeah. Joe, I'm sure it was hard for you not to recommend this, and I'd be interested to know the criteria you use, but my guess is it has to. Is there any reason why you think this is not a worthwhile program? Was it just simply the dollar limit we gave you to work within that you had to choose among programs?
It's a worthy program. It did relate to the dollar limit, but it also relates, if there's a philosophy in the budget, it relates to that, which is the state has chosen to withdraw funding for this program. And the concern is that if we then fill that void, as the feds look to jump over the cliff, as other things begin to happen, are we going to find ourselves in a position of needing to do that more and more? And so, again, the same people in Albany that are telling us you have to keep your property taxes within a certain constrained level are also saying we're going to pull back aid that you use to fund worthy programs and put us in a very difficult situation now where, you know, we'd like to be able to do this program, but we have to fill that state tax void or that state revenue void with local property taxes. And, again, in terms of staying within the target, we did not have the capacity to do that.
It makes me so angry, as it does other people, that we're a wealthy country. The feds could afford to do this. The state is a wealthy state. It could afford it. We may have to do it, all of us on local levels. But I understand your reasoning now. Thank you.
I guess I missed
Isn't
your question.
Isn't that right?
No, we don't. Peter.
Just to answer Joe, we're no longer subject to the tax cap. So we can, in fact, make that decision for ourselves.
You certainly may. Yeah, that's
Isn't
correct.
That right?
If the question is to me, that's right. But, again, it puts counties in a very difficult situation when the state withdraws aid and basically dares us not to fund with local dollars.
Anyone else?
Yes. How difficult would it be if there's if the people who answer the phone at COFA just send people directly to INHS or TCA and not, you know, I mean, I we all would rather be able to help those people navigate, but, you know, and the 211 service also, they're it's not ideal, but we can make sure that people can connect to what is available. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
We do that. Often the people who call us are got referred to us from those agencies because for whatever reason in terms of the criteria within which they are working, that client didn't fit the criteria. So there is nothing that they could do for them. So, and it's a bit of fact-finding in terms of, you know, talking through the issue with the person on the phone and even doing a home visit. What you find is completely different than what was described to you on the phone and so on. So it's a bit of fact-finding.
Carol.
Yeah, it would seem that in terms of the principle that we're trying to maintain of not picking up services because the state is cutting them, that it then is incumbent on us not to turn around and just send people to all the other agencies in town without supporting them.
Do you have a question, please?
Those services. It might be worth exploring whether they could, any of those agencies could perform the service for less than we could. If they already have people on staff who are beefing up could perform it, that might be worth exploring. I had several questions. One, if we no longer have to use the $7,455 in rollover to fund the part-time temporary outreach worker for HEAP, could we, you know, maybe we could bring the budget down by building that in, since we had it in here already. And then in terms of the answer to Brian's question, before we assume that we're just getting $30,000 more for the HEAP program, it would be good for us to get the response on that one. So if you could get back to us, that would be helpful.
I could look into that.
And then if we are getting that funding, is there any flexibility for us to do
to build in parts of this program within that on the local level, or they're just separate programs and we're not allowed to do that?
Do you want to take it?
Well, I'm not sure that the nature of the HEAP program lends itself to that. We don't get, for example, that full HEAP allocation that comes to us. That really goes directly to the consumer. So it's not, my favorite word, fungible within our budget. The money doesn't come in and we can allocate it. It goes to the consumer, I believe. Correct?
That's true. We do get some administrative funds, but that comes through DSS, and that is to administer the application process for HEAP. So I don't know that it's transferable. The use of the rollover funds, that the money is there. That's one-time funding. So, thanks.
I love them.
Lisa, did I hear you correctly? There's still some unsurety about whether the state will or will not pull this money.
No, the money is eliminated.
It is eliminated.
It's gone for 2013 for sure. Uh-huh. And there's some uncertainty as to whether it will come back.
Okay.
We've
thank
been
you.
Told to keep fighting for it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Thank you, Lisa. IT. At the end of the meeting, I will.
Thank you.
It's coming out in an email anyway. Yeah.
Can I just ask Kevin, are we going to get an updated one of these?
Okay. Go ahead, Fred.
Like this. Yes. These numbers are skewed, especially on this next one. Double keyed or something.
Keep saying no.
That's a joke, right? Well, since I've taken the prize for the number of most ART OTRs during the budget process, I thought sitting down would be the best approach for today. So let me first get started by talking specifically about the OTRs in order. And if you have any questions during the course of those, please feel free to interrupt or however you want to work it out.
I would rather not interrupt.
Thank you. Okay. Right. Kevin, which is there we go. Oh.
It's got to be a joke in there somewhere.
Thank you. All right.
You having computer trouble?
Good place to start here. It's a fancy keyboard that we can't afford in my department.
Oh, right.
Okay, so first line here is on expenditures. What you'll notice right away is that there is a rather large increase in expenditures, the majority of which is associated with the request for a new position, which is the deputy IT director. The second line is in revenues, and you'll see a reduction in revenues there. We've seen reductions in revenues in ITS over the course of the past couple of years, both in the GIS or Geographic Information Systems group, as well as this year and what is proposed in some of the adjustments in our budget that are related to the acceptance of the IT position from the Public Health Department moving over to ITS. In the past, some of those services that we provided to Public Health were billable. If we move forward with the finalization of moving that position entirely to ITS, those revenues would need to go away and would not be funded through the Department of Health and their approach there. So the net local, then, between the expenditures and revenues increases by a total of $257,698. The reason the approach is being taken this year in IT to ask for more funds in the department is for many reasons, but primarily we are an overworked, extremely busy department with more and more projects that are lining up
that are based on initiatives, based on efficiencies, on smart work, and just generally trying to look at the digitization of county records and trying to keep pace with the various departments that are heading in those directions. Right now, within the department, we are trying to finalize, with the assistance of some members of the legislature and members of departments, an IT strategic plan, and we're about halfway through that process. But as a result of the retreat that we did earlier in the spring that involved the legislator and other ideas that have come out of that planning process, we have a tally of about 50 IT items or projects or initiatives that are hanging out there that probably need to be addressed within the next 2 years. As the only manager in the department and a department that is now dispersed in many different locations across county facilities, it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to keep pace with the management of those projects and to supervise with my employees appropriately. So the full-time equivalence in IT that went from 10 in 2010. We lost a position in the 2011 budget. We regained a half of a position in 2012, and that was due to a mix of hiring a full-time person as well as a person who went from full-time to part-time in my department as part of a retirement approach that will be gradualized over the course of 2 years. And what we're proposing is to increase the capacity in the department by one additional person, which is the deputy IT director. And then the other position that you see there is the position that would be moved over officially from public health to the Information Technology Services Department. That position, by the way, is only at 28 hours per week. Okay. So let me move into the OTRs one at a time, starting with priority number one. Excuse me while I pull up the details here. Okay, the first one is a request for $8,289. And that is to offset the additional cost of moving the position from the health department to the IT department at 28 hours per week. So in order to balance it out, there'd be a one-time transfer of the money from the health department's budget into ITS on a permanent basis for future target increase. But the loss of revenue that they would receive from the state in doing so would be that amount. Okay. The second item down is an offset in reduction in revenue. So our department has seen a reduction in revenue, as I mentioned, both from GIS and the work that we've traditionally done for billable departments like the public health department. So we have been, in the past couple of years, compensating the loss of revenue through other line items in the budget. And this year we're trying to do a better job at estimating what those true costs and the reductions of revenue are. And that is the amount there that reflects the loss of revenue in the way that we are structured now in Tompkins County. The third item of $4,000 is again a target increase, and that is to cover the portion of 2013 for the new county web page maintenance fee cost that's not covered under the initial contract for implementation. So the true cost of that per year is $12,000, but the initial contract will only run through the month of September of 2013. So we have the remaining months for support and maintenance to cover in 2013 at $4,000. 2014 revenue or costs would then go up to $12,000 as has been negotiated in the contract. The fourth item, which is a service contract for VMware, and the fifth item for a service contract for NetApp are similar. And both of those reflect an advancement in the way that we manage servers and the storage of data on the county's network. So we have moved from traditional physical servers into virtual servers. And there is software that is used to support the migration of servers into a virtual environment. I can talk a lot about the details of that, but just trust me that there's a level of maintenance on the software and support from the company VMware for that project. And that was begun with, the virtualization project was begun with the county clerk's imaging project as well as the emergency response center CAD system. NetApp is the company that we use to store our data. So servers in a virtual world hold the software and possibly the databases in some cases. The storage area network device, which is the NetApp, are large data disks that store all the data that gets combined from the various servers across the county. And those get replicated in the data sets in our two data centers, our uptown data center at 55 Brown Road and our downtown data center at the Annex C building. The next item, six, reflects $3,125, which is the incremental cost that we will be adding to our voice over IP maintenance contract to support the new phones that have been added to the county's telephone system, new telephone system in 2012. So those are the costs, additional costs that kick in 2013. So there's software licensing that goes with phones every time we do roll out an implementation. So that's the incremental cost for moving forward there. Number seven, another maintenance of effort. We have two large UPSs or uninterrupted power supplies, one located in the downtown data center and one in the uptown data center. The purpose of those UPSs are to maintain power to the core or critical network equipment at both of those data centers in the event of a power outage. If we lose power and we do not have UPSs or appropriately working or maintained UPSs, then all the equipment in those locations would crash, do a hard crash, and reboot if the power were to come back on. Those are designed only to give us the incremental time that we need to maintain the power before the generators kick in at both of those locations. So they're really critical equipment. The past year, we've probably seen those UPSs activated at least 16 times. And without them, we would have had a hard crash of our whole network. Number eight, a total of $6,000 is the amount that is necessary to lease a dark fiber connection from Finger Lakes Technology Group as part of an existing contract we have with them to connect from our downtown data center at Annex C to the new HSB Annex. So the primary way that that new location will receive both a data connection and their phone service is through this connection. And that is over a fiber optics connection. So that will be installed at the time of the construction of the building, and the capital project will pay for the cost of that fiber optics network through 2012, and then the cost would be centralized under the ITS budget like all the other dark fiber connections in the county. Travel and training is the request to increase our budget to allow for an average of about $1,200 per employee in the ITS department. So that's just to get us up to that level. IT training is rather expensive, whether we do it online or travel to Syracuse or Elmira, wherever we might go. So the cost of doing that is rather expensive. We do try to roll as much training as we can into capital projects or rollout of software, but there's a great deal to try to keep pace with and learn as we move forward and keep pace with technology. Okay. The priority. Okay. The next one, priority 10, is network engineer professional services. The way that we tend to operate, although we have a network administrator, we also rely on professional services from a company that we have under contract to assist us with the maintenance and rollout and advancement of our storage area network and our virtual service. Although we've learned a lot on how to do that ourselves, we still think we need another year of a safety blanket and working with this company to make sure we have everything right and to call them in when we have problems or difficulties in troubleshooting issues on our network that now rely on those two critical pieces. In the past, again, we've been able to use some capital funds and so forth to cover those expenses, but those projects don't exist so much in the future of 2013. The wireless hotspots project is an initiative that came out of the retreat and some more discussions with the planning group, and the $10,200 would help us or purchase the infrastructure and the software to roll out up to 6 locations in county government conference rooms primarily. And the way that that would be configured, it would be in a manner that would allow us to manage the access points remotely from my office. We could turn them on, turn them off, change the password, and monitor the use of those locations, and also provide an access point not only for the public when they come in, which indeed would be filtered under the same standards that county employees might be filtered in using the Internet or close to it, but also county employees these days are utilizing more and more tablet devices which require a wireless connection to connect to either our network or to the Internet. And so we're trying to accommodate the needs of some of those more advanced uses of tablets, which do make sense in many cases for mobile users. The 12th OTR is the professional services for internal IT security, and that kind of goes with the first one, or number 11, because there's some work that we have to do in defining the policy and the procedures for using hotspots in the county. But more importantly, we're finishing up a project with a consulting firm that's doing a security assessment on our network. And out of the preliminary results of that, they have identified some holes that we really need to focus on and cover. Primarily, individuals walking into any county building, finding a live jack, plugging a device that's not a county device into the network, and currently we don't have any way of identifying those or locking them out. So we need a way to do that, as well as monitor and track activity that occurs between county buildings or county servers and locations on our network. So that is the approach. So we need another level of security and control on the internal network to do a better job and meet some of the requirements that are coming either at state level, federal level, or from our own compliance group. The number 13, then, is the Deputy ITS Director, which is the largest of the OTR requests. And that is a position that is needed if we want to maintain or increase IT responses and initiatives in county government. The next item, 14, which was only partially funded, is a request that I had put forth to look at better balancing the existing IT employee salary scales for a few employees in my department, up to 3 actually. There are cases in some of the moves that we've made with the Public Health Department and within GIS that have led to inconsistencies between the type of work people are doing in my office and what other county employees in other departments are being compensated. So they're basically working out a title, and I need to either change what the type of work that they do to reduce what they do, or somehow look at a reclassification to better match what other employees that are doing similar work in other departments are doing and being paid more. Okay, so there's an equity issue there. And number 15, I believe, was also modified by County Administrator and zeroed out, correct? So what you see here may not be correct. We have often and still do respond to off-hour calls in the IT department. There are emergencies. They happen often. I'd say a dozen times a year, or there are cases when we're working with a vendor or a consultant and we need to continue work beyond the normal workday. And in order for me to respond to that, there's a cost. It's an OT cost, and what I was proposing is $4,000. That is based on the history from the past year of those events. If we're not allowed to respond to off-hours calls, then we would wait and do it in the morning and interrupt employees on the county's network.
And that was zeroed out. That's not recommended.
That, that's correct. It was zeroed out. So what you're seeing there should be zero.
No, it's, no. Not, it's just the title. Look at the title. Not supported by.
Thank you.
Anything else? I have Brian and Mike and Carol so far.
I know we talked about your number 15. We talked about that in budget, and we'll probably have to talk about it again, especially given law enforcement and Department of Emergency Response. That sometimes that's not doable. I mean, it has to be done right then. That wasn't my question. My question was, how do I apply for the deputy IT director? No. That wasn't my question either. Priority 10. You're saying you feel as though you need those services for one more year that you've got. You learned a lot, but would feel more comfortable one more year. And if that's true, could that not be a target request, but some sort of one-time?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's – yeah, that would be fair.
Was that
– well, as you amend the budget, that's something that can be considered. And, our rule has been we try to limit one-time money to one-time expenditures, and if Greg is saying this is just for one more year, that
was fit.
Right for consideration.
Okay. And there may be opportunities in the next year to incorporate that cost into future grant applications or something like that, and I have done a lot of that in the past. You're just not seeing that. So.
Okay.
I have Mike.
Jim, at Government Operations, Greg gave us a three-page handout of the things his department is, the initiatives they have. And I was hoping that all members of the legislature might be able to have this. I found it very educational.
It would be a great idea. I don't have a copy, but, you know, if you could get it to Kevin, do you have it?
Or, I don't
have it. Well, it's online somewhere, right?
I do have it with me if you really want to spend time with it.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Kathy could copy it for us. For sure. The people that didn't get it,
or send it to us. That's great. Mike, did you have any other?
No, I just when I look at when I compare everything he's doing and when I see up there, I understand very much.
Carol Chalk.
I have a couple of questions. You said something about county employees being filtered. Yes. What do you mean by that? And
we have a device on the edge of our network that manages and monitors the use of the Internet from both the inside and the outside. So any employee or any time anyone connects to a county jack, whether it's an employee or the public, they're filtered on what websites they're allowed to have access to. And there are groups of those that we automatically prohibit, and then we have a lot of adjustments based on the unique circumstances of departments or employees that might give them more access to those sites that they need to do conduct their business.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, was whether you make exceptions.
Yes.
I had a situation recently where somebody couldn't go and look at something that I asked them to look at because they weren't allowed to... A county employee.
Yeah. It may have been a video site or a blog site.
Yeah, it was
so
a
we
video
tend
site.
To block all videos and blog sites for the most appropriate reasons.
And then on the issue of if you create the wireless hotspots, you have to impose security on that?
Yes.
What would be the dangers of leaving it open for
people? Well, if you want county funds to go towards citizens using hotspots to access pornography, hate crimes, I could go on, gambling, then we would need to impose. If you want it completely open, then it would probably require more time on our side to monitor and identify if those, those uses are occurring.
And these are spots that people would be coming to our meetings.
That's
and
correct.
Sitting at our meetings, so
yes.
They could be looking
at. So there would be a sponsor and a count set in every conference room, and so we could track the activity down to the conference room during a period of time. But we'll probably end up with a little bit more openness to those because most people walking into county spots want social networking and some other items that we typically block.
Okay.
So that's an adjustment we'll have to play with if the project is funded.
Okay. Do we have experience? Has that been a problem with people accessing, in terms of people who are coming to our meetings?
Currently, they cannot.
Right.
Because we disconnect the Jackson conference room. The problem is when they expect it to be available, and then they call us at the last minute because you've got 20 people in the conference room and they can't get to the Internet.
Right. Okay. No, I understand that. I'm just wondering if we really need to be protecting ourselves quite. It seems like people coming to county meetings are coming to do business. So rather than just, those conference rooms are not open to anybody to just sit in all the time. We know.
I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
two of us, by the way.
And then the your first part, the added money because of the cost, losing the state money due to the health IT transfer. If we just kept an IT position within the health department, but that you worked closely with, we could then.
They would not
save
be able to
money?
Do any work for any other location other than the public health department.
Okay.
Martha Roberts.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'd ask me to sort of be reminded why we made that switch. So, okay. That was one question. Another is on the 15th priority OTR. Why would that, maybe you said it, but I missed it. Why would that $4,000 be requested as one time?
Well, it's difficult, I think, every year to understand what the OT costs are. So I was approaching it as a one-time request. I mean, things may change. You know, in the past, I've been able to balance out. If I've paid out any overtime, I've been able to balance it with savings from salary and fringes that have occurred during the course of the year. So it changes every year. So we just took our best guess at what's happened in the past year, applied it to 2013, but I'm not quite sure what's going to happen in 2014. That's not a common cost every year. It changes based on the type of projects we work on.
Okay. And Joe, why did you draw the line there at that $4,000?
I had to draw the line somewhere. And I drew it at the last $4,000. I think Greg's explained it pretty well. This is still, we're still experimenting. We don't really know yet what this is going to be. We're new into it. My expectation is we will be able to find savings elsewhere in the budget to cover this. It's a small enough amount in a large enough budget that we should be able to generate some savings elsewhere in the line items to be able to cover it. If not, if worse came to worse and we had to come back to you for a contingency draw, it's a very small draw.
Yeah. And let me add to that, the way that ITS operates internally with an MOU that went through the bargaining unit review and personnel department, the employees in my office have the option of choosing comp time or overtime at my discretion. I prefer not to allow for comp time, because I've been in that situation where everybody in my office has accrued the maximum amount of comp time, and it's the same cost to the county. I'd rather reflect that as a true cost that you understand as opposed to comp time. But in cases where I don't have money, like this year where I've run out of salary and fringes, some of my employees have generously agreed to accept comp time because their balances are down to zero now. It's the only alternative I have. So it gives me a little bit more flexibility.
Peter Stein. I have two frivolous questions. The first one I think I asked at GO, but I've forgotten the answer. I can't get my head around what a virtual server means. There must be a real server.
Yes.
So what I don't know what it means.
Traditionally, or physical servers are designed often to house one application. So the cost of those servers could range anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000, or let's say $6,000 to $10,000. A virtual server allows us to consolidate up to, let's say, five servers on one physical server. And so we separate them or on one piece of equipment. And so the cost of that piece of equipment is maybe around $10,000. So we're spending a lot less money on hardware and investing it in virtual server software that allows us to manage up to five servers on that device and across all of those virtual server pieces of hardware. So when we do that, the other advantage is that we can take a snapshot or a mirror of how that server is configured and copy it and instantaneously install it on another piece of equipment in another data center. So it gives us another ability to redundantly provide services if a piece of hardware fails or part of our network fails.
Okay, I guess I'll have to ask my questions in private. I don't really understand. Well, I have one other frivolous question.
Yeah, all right, go ahead.
I don't exactly understand why there's... okay, once you set up an input, a port, to something or other, it doesn't cost you very much, if anything, to have an additional person using that. Certainly not linear with the amount of people using it. So why would we care if someone from the public came in and watched pornography or watched the baseball game or anything like that? What's the problem exactly?
We have a limited amount of bandwidth that connects us to the Internet, and we monitor that very closely.
All right, okay.
If you want to open up access unlimited to county employees and to the public, it's going to triple what that type of traffic is, and I'm going to be coming back asking for more money to buy more bandwidth.
No, I can see you would say it for county employees, but the other seems to be such a small load that I wouldn't think that you would care, but let it pass.
It's your call.
So,
haven't downloaded any porn lately, eh? oh, my God. Brian.
What do you think about this, boy?
Well, you said it, I didn't. Go ahead.
I didn't have a question, and I don't think I need to respond.
Yeah, exactly. I have Frank. Dooley, who are you pointing at?
Frank, I didn't know.
Well, I did see him, okay? Thank you. I appreciate your help.
She was just trying to be helpful, Jim.
Yeah.
You ready?
I am.
Oh, good.
Go ahead.
Greg, not knowing what a deputy ITS director costs, first question, is that a reasonable amount of money? I mean, some of our commissioners are making that kind of money.
That includes fringes.
That is everything.
Yes.
All right. Now, assuming that you're allowed to hire this person or you find someone qualified, buried in any of those OTRs, there's got to be a computer, a desk, a chair, unless they're going to operate off an orange crate. Do you have room? Are we looking at additional money?
No, we can cover we already have enough office furniture and equipment to accommodate a new employee,
a new person
in the space. And the cost of adding, you know, a laptop or a PC for that individual is also included in the budget.
And my last question is, would you consider Brian's application to apply for that job?
Well, first I have to write the specifications for the job, and then we'll...
I'll help you. Okay. I can help you write those.
Bill, did you have your hand up?
Yes. Thank you. I tried to follow with the section B where the consultants, where the contracts are listed, as you were going through all of your statements of when you used people to do different things. And with the exception of links, I could not match any of them up. And even with links, the dollar amounts in that part of the book didn't match the dollar amounts you were saying. So I don't want to take a lot of time to go over that now, but I would like to get a clearer understanding of how they match up, and you can do that some other time.
Let me just say that the $13,076 is a portion of all professional services. We have many professional services. I'm just putting one out there for discussion. So that's why. So we came up short when we added up all the professional services costs of what we needed for 2013. This is the amount that we came up short. I'm just using the contract with Lynx Technology as the
as an example.
As an example, okay, that we would need to cover. But I didn't want to go into the details of the other eight companies that we rely on for professional services for other types of projects.
All right.
Well,
tell us very quickly about the new website, what we can expect, and why it's worth spending $12,000 a year to maintain.
The new website project has gone through its review, RFP review, involving the Public Information Advisory Board and some employees in Tompkins County. We've selected Catalog and Commerce out of the Rochester area to develop and maintain and host the site for us. The project actually kicks off tomorrow, so we'll be starting with the review of design scenarios and elements and trying to narrow down the selection of what the site generally is going to look like from a design perspective. Currently, Tompkins County, the big change in the cost at the maintenance is that we're shifting the responsibility of ITS maintaining all the software and the hardware on our network and providing all the IT support to help departments maintain their sites and to update their sites to the consulting firm of Catalog and Commerce. They'll be taking all the calls directly, and ITS will no longer be involved in maintaining and managing content on the county's website. We don't do it well. We're not professional designers. And there are many companies now out there like Catalog and Commerce that do it and do it very efficiently for very low cost compared to what you're paying us now to do that same service.
Thank you.
Martha.
Greg, it seems that some of these, you talked about, I think on the dark fiber network going to the Human Services Annex, you talked about part of it's in the capital and then it's going to go into the
operations.
Into the operations, into your operation or that department's operation?
That is our operations budget. So all of the costs for network connectivity between county facilities is within the ITS budget. Sometimes we can get reimbursement through state aid for parts of those expenses, and we've looked at all those and maximized those to the best of our ability. This is one, though, that needs to come out 100% of local funding based on the Office of Aging's current financial reimbursements with New York State. So we manage that as opposed to the ED department or departments. That would be far too complicated and messy for them to do it themselves. So we include those within our line item. And this is an increase in our operational budget to cover that new location.
Okay. I think Joe and I have talked about some maybe restructuring of some of your budget where these contracts that aren't negotiable. It's not like with a consultant you can negotiate the scope of work. Somebody is going to maintain your software and you're going to pay the bill or you're not.
Correct.
That's almost in the category of like the facilities utility budget. And I don't know whether that'll simplify things in any way or, you know, that sounds like something that you're going to look at next year.
For next year, yeah.
Anyone else? Thank you, Greg. We are done. Let me just say for the group, the next EBC meeting is October 4th, 5:30, same place. The voting meeting is duly for you. You asked me earlier, the 23rd, 5:30, 25th, 6:30, the 30th, 5:30. And they will be coming to you in an email. The smaller budget committee We have a 4:30 meeting before the legislature meeting next Tuesday. We have about five or six pretty important resolutions. And anyone else have any comments? Thank you all for coming. Appreciate your input.